Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. You can find that on page 547 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 37, verse 1. Now, it's a long psalm, and you really need to hear the psalm as a whole. You need to read through it. In one sense, read it slowly, marinating in the whole of the text. And so tonight we will do that as we begin to look at God's Word from the whole of Psalm 37. And it is a psalm of David. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those He curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. His tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourish like a green tree in its native soil, but he soon passes away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace, but all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. This is God's word. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we ask that as we study your word tonight, your good word, that you would water our souls with more enduring delight, an enduring faith in your promises, in your provisions, and in the future promised land. I hear our prayer, O God. Amen. Now, as the people of God were coming into the promised land, Deuteronomy laid out blessings and curses. For those that would obey the law, for those who love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and mind, they would enter the promised land. Theirs would be a land flowing with milk and honey, but those who forsook the Lord, who would not obey, who would not fall under the righteous reign of the good King of Israel, would be cut off from the land. Now, as we were reading, you heard the word cut off again and again and again and again. Because what was so essential in the law, it was promising a land, wasn't it? A good place. That land flowing with milk and honey that you all remember so well. I mean, that was the promise. A land flowing with milk and honey. So to be cut off from that land is to be cut off from salvation, is to be cut off from the very promised land of God. It is to be cut off from heaven. It is to be cut off from eternal joy. There's far more with these words of to be cut off. There was nothing more disastrous than to be cut off from the promised land. And what we see in the history of Israel as you walk through really one of the most horrific histories of humanity is that finally they were cut off from the land, weren't they? They were exiled from the land. They were both exiled in the northern kingdom in 721 and the southern kingdom in 586 BC, only to come back, a small remnant, to come back to the land of promise. Now, David had sung about the reality of how the people of Israel were to abide in the land. And here we have this psalm. It is the righteous that will abide in the land. Or you could even say, and you saw the word, it is the meek. You notice the echoes of the Sermon on the Mount, of the Beatitudes. The meek will inherit the earth, won't they? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, or they will inherit the land. That is a recurring theme through our text, but let us look at this text about the wicked. And then we will look at the righteous. But let us first look at the wicked who will be cut off from the land. Now, David wants the reader to know right from the get-go, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. And had not David experienced evil men in his life? Had he not had men who wanted to kill him? He had Saul, did he not? Then he had a son named Absalom. And we believe that he is writing this song at the end of his life. You see that in the psalm. He's an old man. He's had many people who wanted to kill him and who actually tried many a time to put him to death. But he says, this man who has been pursued for much of his life, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. You see, like an older man, he has perspective. He can look back upon his life, can't he? He can see that those moments in his life where he thought everything was lost, he can go back to those moments and see Saul was but a breath. His reign was really short. And Absalom, his rise was quick and his fall was even quicker. And there were many enemies in David's life like that. And so he looks back as a man who has perspective, and he understands they're like grass. They're just like the grass. They will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. The evil men will be cut off. It continues on to verse 10. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. He speaks of that twice in the psalm. The men that you fret, the forces that you are in fear of, will one day be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, as if they are a phantom. Here today and yet gone tomorrow. The wicked will soon be destroyed. And he gives that illustration at the end of the psalm in verse 35. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. That sounds like Absalom. He was a green tree, wasn't he? A young man full of vigor. And he was planted in his native soil, wasn't he? He took over his father's kingdom. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. And that was a son he wept for when he heard of his death. And how he is trying to encourage the congregation that the wicked one day will be destroyed. Soon they will come to an end like all wicked men. But not so the righteous. And David reminds the reader. He reminds the worshiper. He reminds us here tonight that the wicked are the enemies of God. You see that in verse 12. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own heart, and their bow will be broken. Well, you know how Saul died, don't you? On Mount Gilboa, he died falling upon his sword. He died very far away from God, didn't he? And God fights for his people. I love that language. He laughs at the wicked. You know, David can look back at his life. He can look back at the history of Israel. It was God who was, as we talked about, that divine warrior, wasn't he?
It was God who fought for his people time and time again, from the shores of the Red Sea to the wilderness wanderings. It was God, God, God that brought them into the promised land and gave them the victory. And it was God who saved David time and time again and raised him up to be king over Israel. Because the wicked were no more. They had been cut down. Now, I know this is not the language we speak of in the modern age, this idea of the wicked and our enemies being destroyed. But you know, friends, we have many hostile forces in our own culture that seek to do harm to the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in an age of, well, people are easily offended. And you see, even on the internet, if you do not speak the party policy, the plague of the mob will come down on you on the zero and one universe of the internet. There's not much mercy, right, on social media. People are quite hostile to the Christian cause, really to Christ himself. But you notice how fast those feeds fade away? How short the attention span is for whatever moment we are living in? It's quite quick, and soon it is gone. And some of the very people that might be most hostile to the gospel, even in our own day, rise up very quickly, and what do you find? They also fade very quickly. The Me Too movement and all those people that had been really opposed to the gospel, they themselves were eaten up by that same movement, devoured by that same enemy. So this idea of enemies, physical enemies, actually do exist in our own lives, in our own culture. But as the church, we ought not to fret, ought we? We ought not to be afraid of the enemy. Because we know their outcome. We know their end. And so we ought to sing their end, as David is calling the people to do. Sing the reality that God will defeat all your enemies. Sing the reality that everything that opposes you one day will be buried. But you, O saint, you, redeemed, will be victorious. Do not fret. Do not fret. Do not fret. I see that in the text. You see that very clearly. David is adamant. Do not fret. Then he said, do not fret. And he said, do not fret. Because what does he know about fretting saints? What does he know about fearful men who are fearful about the culture around them and the movements around them? What do we do when we're afraid? Do we respond well? Do we respond wisely? No, we don't. When we are afraid, we often respond like fools if we're responding to the fear. David is very clear, isn't he, about the do not fret and why? What is the reason? You see that if you go to your text. Verse 8, he says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Don't be like the wicked. Don't be like the media mob. Do not fret. Do not fear the culture we're living in. Do not fear the loss of our influence as a Christian church in this culture. Do not fear. But many of you do. You fear the loss of the influence of the Church of Jesus Christ in this culture. Well, you will not be able to make wise decisions of how to go forward if you are afraid. Because who is for you? Who is David singing who's for you? None other than God, who will slay the wicked and destroy the wicked. The wicked are like dust and ashes. They are like a phantom. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. When we're afraid, we do not make wise decisions. Not at all. What did Jesus say about fear? I find this psalm is so wonderfully linked to the Sermon on the Mount, maybe because we spent so much time in the text. But Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When you're anxious, when you're afraid, seek first his kingdom. Seek first God. What does David say? He says, trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Don't fret. Rather, trust in him. Did not David trust in the Lord when Saul came to that opening and he could have killed him so easy? He could have slit his throat and gutted him out there in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness. No one would have saw. But he didn't, did he? He cut the hem of his garment because he was the Lord's anointed, because he wasn't afraid. Right? He was not afraid, and that kept him from evil. It kept him from sinning against the Lord and against his anointed, no matter how evil Saul was as God's anointed. And if there's a story in the Bible that really illustrates that the wicked will be cut off from the land, it's the story of Ahab and Naboth. You know the story about that vineyard that Naboth had and Jezebel wanted. And of course, Ahab wanted, because anything Jezebel wanted, Ahab was ready to give. And here you find in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 13, two scoundrels came and sat opposite of him, Naboth, and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. But you see, God is a just God. He will repay the evil done against his people. And he summons Elijah to come. And he says, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. Ahab said to Elijah, so you found me, my enemy? I have found you, he answered. Because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, I am going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. You hear that language? Cut off. The language that is used in Psalm 37 constantly about the wicked. And this is what we know about a battle in which Ahab was in, and he was mortally wounded in his chariot, although he was disguised as someone else. And the text says in 1 Kings 22, 38, they washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathe. Fitting ending for an evil man. It says this, and the dogs licked up his blood, and the word of the Lord had declared. And it wasn't only him, it was also Jezebel. When Jehu was coming as God's judgment, they threw Jezebel out the window and the dogs devoured her and licked up her blood. I know those stories are like shocking to our 21st century ears. And they really shouldn't be, since we're a nation that destroys 1 million unborn children a year. God met out true justice on an evil man. And even though Naboth had died, God brought his justice upon a wicked man, and his entire line was cut off. You see that all those who oppose God, All those who oppose his rule and his reign will be cut off from the face of the earth. All those who will not bow the knee to Jesus Christ will be cut off from the face of the earth. And not only cut off from the face of the earth, they will never dwell again on the new heavens and the new earth to walk and to delight in the wondrous renewed creation. But that is the reality. They will be cut off. But it's a warning to us that we would seek to be righteous, that we would seek to do good. Because it is very clear, the righteous, the meek, will inherit the land. You saw that in the text. Verse 11, verse 22, verse 29, verse 34. Look at some of those texts. Verse 34. Wait for the Lord. Keep his way. Now, the language is very interesting, isn't it? Wait for the Lord. You wait for the Lord. You wait for his justice. You wait for his recompense. You wait for him. But isn't it interesting, in the next breath, it says, keep his way. Even as the saints wait for the Lord in the midst of unrighteousness in our culture, it does not mean we sit passively by, but rather we keep his ways. We obey his commandments through the power of Jesus Christ and the indwelling Spirit. We wait for the Lord and do what is right. And why is that? We know something beyond this hymn. And what is that? Beyond this psalm, beyond this song, we know something else in the story. Yes, the wicked will be cut off from the land. But friends, what has God done in history to gather the wicked? What has God done in human history, in time and space, to gather the wicked? Who did he send for wicked men? What did Jesus call you and the Pharisees and those that were listening to his Sermon on the Mount? You who are wicked, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you good gifts? Didn't God sent his son to die for sinners? Didn't God send his only begotten son to be the sacrifice for sin? So that the wicked would not perish but have eternal life? That wicked men and women like me and like you might repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he did he not? Because really, there is no entry into the kingdom of heaven without the acknowledgement of your sinfulness. Without the acknowledgement of your wickedness, you cannot actually understand the reality of Christ and him crucified. Because who became cursed so that you would not be cursed? Because you notice in the psalm, it talks about cursed. Wasn't Jesus cursed for you? The curse for sin was placed upon him so that you would not be cursed, but rather blessed and be brought into his family? I mean, this psalm becomes so sweet when you come to the cross, because there wicked men and women can find forgiveness. Wicked men and women can see how wondrous is the love of God for them. Wicked men and women can see how far God will go to save them and not hold the record against them, because who of you could stand if God were to have a record of you and you were to stand before a holy, holy God? Who of you could stand? David could not stand that adulterous murderer. Isn't that the guy that wrote the psalm? Apart from the breaking in of history of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for humanity, no hope for me, because I'm a wicked man who has been saved by God's grace that I might become a righteous man. Because the righteous are those who what? Believe, aren't they? The righteous are those who trust in the Lord. The righteous are those who trust that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and only in His sacrifice are they forgiven, and only in His perfect life and obedience to the Father can they have any righteousness at all before their Heavenly Father. And that very gospel creates in us a stirring hunger for holiness. When you know how deeply you have been loved and how much affection God has for wicked men and women, it can only stir up in those who have been made righteous, who have been justified by faith, obedient righteousness. Friends, it's a marvel that when we hear God's word, sometimes we don't even see Christ in the Psalms. But I believe that psalm is roaring like a rushing river from the Sierra Nevadas in the beginning of spring. Roaring, I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. And only God will do. Only God will do. And Christ is God. He is my Savior. He is my righteousness. And because of Him who was cut off at the cross, I will not be cut off. To God be the glory. Amen. What He has done is wondrous. Let's pray, O Father in heaven. O Father, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How easy it is for any of us to continue to stumble over ourselves into wickedness again and again. And we know that the sacrifice of bulls and goats was never sufficient. And righteousness in our own power could never be. But we do have a righteousness from God that is by faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. A righteousness that takes those who were cut off and brings them into your family. Oh, Father, would we never lose sight as we read the Psalms, as we pray the Psalms, as we sing the Psalms. May we never lose sight of Christ, our friend, our Redeemer, our Lord. Father, bless your saints as they go out. May the righteousness they have received by faith in Jesus Christ stir up in them a greater desire in me and in them to live righteously before you. We want to live pure lives, righteous lives, and we want to be used as your people to call wicked men and women to repentance as both the Old and the New Testaments are calling people to repentance. For Father, we want wicked men and women to experience the righteousness we have through faith in Jesus Christ. Use your saints, use our weaknesses to minister the gospel of amazing grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.